The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, December 19th, through Christmas Day, Sunday, December 25th, 2022. The commentary for December was written by Sally Sisler, born and raised in West Virginia. After a long career in marketing and communication, she answered the call to ordain ministry and serves at a rural Episcopal church in southern Ohio. She and her husband, a retired judge and deacon, have two sons and four grandchildren. The commentary for Monday, December 19th, begins as follows from the Gospel of John, a passage from chapter 5, verse 44. How can you believe when you accept glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the one who alone is God? And the commentary begins, Jesus doesn't need a master's degree in psychology to understand human behavior. He knows our identity often gets wrapped up in our work and our piety. We love to be recognized for a job well done or a big donation to our favorite charity. Our accomplishments become life-giving, or so we think. Jesus sees us for who we are, short-sighted people who are well-meaning but detached from our identity as children of God and beloved siblings of one another. The glory that really matters comes from our relationship with God. To improve that relationship, we must seek concrete ways to connect with God's life-giving power. We must study God's Word, attend worship, enjoy fellowship, and find opportunities to genuinely serve others. Earlier in chapter 5, Jesus tells his followers that he can do nothing on his own. He does what he sees God doing. For whatever the Father is doing, the Son does likewise. This is our challenge, to imitate God's nature by following the one who reveals it. And now I'm going to read the entire scripture for today from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 30 through 47. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies on my behalf, and I know that his testimony to me is true. You sent messengers to John, and he testified to the truth. Not that I accept such human testimony, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But I have a testimony greater than John's, the works that the Father has given me to complete, the very works that I am doing, testify on my own behalf that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified on my behalf. You have never heard his voice or seen his form, and you do not have his word abiding in you, because you do not believe him whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that testify on my behalf. yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. If another comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe when you accept glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the one who alone is God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom you have set your hope. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe what he wrote, how will you believe what I say? And the moving forward question for this Monday, December 19th, is, where does God fall on your list of priorities? And now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, December 20th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak, until the day these things occur." And the commentary by today's writer: being asked to mute ourselves during Zoom meetings is commonplace. Most everyone complies, yet usually one or two people fail to hit the button on their computers, and we hear pots and pans rattling, dogs barking, and snippets of personal conversation. Conversely, we've all heard the words, "You're muted." Taking away the ability to communicate can be frustrating at best, and I wonder how many Zoom conversations have left participants with no voice. How many unfinished conversations, missed ideas, or important inputs have been lost to the mute button? Once Elizabeth delivers John the Baptist, Zechariah can speak. I look forward to the day when no one is muted, and we can sing and pray together in one voice. Now I'm going to read from the full passage for this day from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once when he was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now, at that time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak, until the day these things occurred." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." And the moving forward question for this day is, the next time you are on a Zoom call or in a group conversation, pay close attention to who is speaking and who seems to be muted. How can you invite everyone to the conversation? Now the commentary for Wednesday, December 21st, the Feast of St. Thomas the Apostle. It begins with a passage from John chapter 20, verse 25b. "But Thomas said to them, 'Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe.'" Today the church commemorates St. Thomas the Apostle, and our text shows Thomas at his most vulnerable and truthful. The other disciples have experienced the resurrected Jesus, but Thomas was not with him. When Jesus appears a second time, Thomas is blunt but truthful. He won't believe as they do until he has some physical proof of Jesus' resurrection. I've always admired Thomas. Who wouldn't love to have the opportunity to touch the wounded Savior? When Jesus appears to Thomas, there's no judgment on Jesus' part. He encourages Thomas to touch his hands and side, and Thomas responds with deep devotion to his Lord. To believe in the resurrected Jesus is at the heart of faith, and yet we have opportunities to touch our Savior every day. There are plenty of wounded people in this world, and each time we work for their common good, we add kindling to the fire of our love for our Lord and our God. And now I'll read the full text from John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. "But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe.'" A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." And the moving forward question today is, how would you respond in Thomas's position? The commentary for Thursday, December 22nd, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 41a. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. Mary must have needed to escape the rumors about her unusual pregnancy, so she set out to visit her cousin Elizabeth for support. Elizabeth had also conceived in an unusual way after many years of being barren. Gabriel's news had changed the lives of two women. We can feel the intense joy of these two women as they greet one another. Elizabeth is overcome by the Spirit and recognizes the special nature of Mary's coming baby boy. Mary is so overwhelmed, she bursts into song and tells of a new world order where everything will be seen in a new light. "When I learned I was pregnant for the first time," says the author, "I burst into tears. While I was happy, I was also overwhelmed with fear of becoming a parent. My life was about to change forever." Mary's song is correct. Once her baby arrives, the world will never be the same. And now I'll read from the full passage from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 48a. "In those days Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord.' And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever.' And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home." The moving forward question for this day: is there a birth that changed your life? The commentary for Friday, December 23rd, begins with Luke chapter 1, verse 60. "But his mother said, 'No, he is to be called John.'" Elizabeth's choice for a name for her newborn son was unexpected. No one in Elizabeth's family was named John, but Elizabeth and Zechariah were fulfilling Zechariah's promise to Gabriel to call their son John. In my southern West Virginia community, family names were common and expected. I was named for my great-grandmother. I proudly bore her first and middle names through grade school. Eventually, I outgrew my double name and was glad for the change. I imagine Zechariah and Elizabeth's family were disappointed by the lack of a family name, but the couple was faithful, and their son grew into his own double moniker, John the Baptist. The story of how God redeems the world begins when an elderly couple obeys God's messenger, and the hands that rock the John's cradle set the stage for a new world order with the birth of Mary's baby Jesus. And the passage for this day is from Luke 1, 57 to 66. "Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives has this name." Then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John," and all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become? For indeed the hand of the Lord was with him." The moving forward question, "Do you like your name? Does it connect you with a loved one?" The commentary for Saturday, December 24th, Christmas Eve, begins with Luke 1, verses 76 to 77. "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins." Talk about a toast, and at a post-circumcision party, no less. Zechariah sets the bar high. He knows his son has a distinct purpose, and he shares it with all the guests. While most fathers are proud of their newborn sons, Zechariah is over the moon. He predicts, rightly, that John will be among the highest prophets, preparing the way of the Lord, offering salvation and forgiveness of sins. The guests must have been elbowing one another as Zechariah went on. Who has these kinds of hopes for their child, and who dares speak them publicly? But Zechariah has inside information. He knows what Gabriel foretold. And as for his friends, they would just have to wait and see. And the full passage for this day is from Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 80. "Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets of old, that he would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins, by the tender mercy of our God. The dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel." And the moving forward question, who needs to hear the good news? Share it today. And the commentary for Sunday, December 25th, Christmas Day, begins with Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord.'" Every time I read this gospel on Christmas Eve, I shiver with delight when I say, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news." When I was diagnosed with breast cancer, the writer says, I was terrified when the radiologist reviewed my mammogram. After all, nearly 50 years of "see you next year" doesn't prepare you for this news. I was scheduled for an ultrasound, MRI-guided biopsy, and surgery 2 days later. The first words I heard from the surgeon when I awoke up were, "Don't be afraid, all is well." My own small example of good news helps me imagine the shepherds' feelings. They are the first to hear that the long-awaited Savior has been born. If they're scared, they still make haste to meet the newborn King. Sharing good news means we put aside our fears and offer the truth of the power of Jesus to others without hesitation. Rejoice, the Savior is born. And the reading for this day, in that region there were shepherds. Excuse me, I started in the wrong place here. It's chapter 1 through 14 from Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All I went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for him in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." And the moving forward for this Christmas day is, again, who needs to hear the good news of this day? Share it today. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. On behalf of the staff and volunteers of the North Carolina Reading Service, I wish you and your family a very happy and holy holiday Christmas season. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org.